Good morning, and welcome to 20 Minutes of Teaching Brilliance on the Road with Trust-Based Observations. Today is episode zero of the podcast, and what we thought we'd do is introduce people really to trust-based observations and then talk kind of what the podcast is going to be about moving forward. So to do that today, I have two guests, Mike Caldwell and Glenn Woodburn, who are trained TBO Trust-Based Observation School leaders. So I thought we could start by having them introduce themselves. Mike, you want to go first? Maybe we should have Glenn first. He was the first one that was trained.
Yeah, I better go with Glenn.
Yeah, we better go with Glenn.
Oh, okay. Well, my name is Glenn Woodburn. Welcome to everybody. I'm coming to you from Southwestern Ontario, where it's a little brisk this morning and a nice gentle snow glittering down. So it was my pleasure to connect with Craig back in 2021 when I was working in Beijing, China. So I'll give you a little bit of history of me and then a little history with my TBO. So I was, for the last 4 years, I was the middle high principal at Canadian International School of Beijing. This was a school that used the New Brunswick curriculum, which was new to me because I've been using Ontario curriculum, and it was an IB, MYP, PYP, and DP school. So lots of learning and lots of experiences. And when I got there, one of the first things that was thrust upon me was a process to evaluate the teachers that was based on the Danielson model. And I push back right away. I'm like, oh my goodness, you want me to evaluate how many teachers on how many look fors and checklists? And I struggled a little bit with that. Having come from Ontario, I wasn't as familiar with the Danielson, but there was an Ontario framework for evaluating teachers that as an administrator, and I've been an administrator for about 12 years now, as an administrator, I'd always struggled with because, you know, I remember one school where I had a teacher and they pulled out the lesson and they taught the lesson. And then I went back to their file and I pulled out an old observation form. And I realized that the lesson that I had just observed was the exact same lesson that they had taught 5 years previous.
A literal proverbial dog and pony show that they pull out
dog and pony show
year after year.
Yeah. So as an administrator, I had struggled with the evaluation process, knowing that it hadn't improved teaching and learning. I know for this in particular teacher, you know, he was a great teacher, but, you know, there was no growth, there was no risk taking, there was no progress in their teaching. Even as a teacher, you know, I had spent 15, 16 years in the classroom teaching everything from music to spec ed to alternative education. I knew as a teacher that I always valued having my administrators come in, but it was so rare that they were able to come in. And often, you know, if we were doing something cool in the class, even inviting them into the class sometimes didn't always work. So when I came across a LinkedIn post in 2021 by Craig, it really spoke to me both as a teacher, but also as a leader, that it was, you know, perhaps a different way to do things. And I love doing things differently. I love challenging status quo, and I love seeing what we could do. So Craig and I connected. I requested the form, as people often do. And I was like, okay, this form is a little overwhelming. So Craig and I jumped on some Zoom calls. We talked. He talked about the benefits of training. And thanks to the support of our superintendent and our board of directors, we were able to be the first school trained internationally through TBO. And it was a great experience. That was April 2021. Craig zoomed in from where he was in North America and spent late nights working with us. And it was an experience. And what we had was we had 12 teachers in our middle high and 12 teachers on our elementary school that volunteered to be part of a pilot. So, you know, 12 teachers represents about, you know, 25% of our staff. So we went through a pilot. We did the training with Craig. You know, that's the complete mind shift that I'm sure we'll get into here. But it was that mind shift that we had to get to, moving away from evaluation and getting into really coaching and supporting teachers. So it was a great experience. We then ran that program for just over 2.5 years. The school's continuing to run it, and it's been a great experience. Since coming back to Canada in the summer of 2023, I've had the pleasure of connecting with Craig and you know, learning a little bit more about how we support administrators in developing their expertise in TBO. So it's been my pleasure. And that's where I met Mike the first time, was when I spent just, you know, 5 or 6 days training teachers or training administrators in Boise, Idaho. So with that, I'll sort of kick it over to Mike and say hi to Mike. Mike, it's good to see you.
Glenn, thank you. Great introduction. I'll do my best to wing it and follow suit after that great intro. Mike Caldwell from Boise, Idaho, as Glenn said. Spent the last 9 years as a high school principal at Bishop Kelly High School, or Idaho's only Catholic high school. And maybe similar in some ways to Glenn's journey, when I started as an administrator, my first introduction to evaluating teachers with the Danielson model. And as a principal, when I had the opportunity to do something different, I quickly did so. However, when I made a shift from Danielson, I didn't really adopt another model. We kind of just built our own and just tried to figure it out for many years until my last year at Bishop Kelly. I was always searching for something better to observe teachers, something more impactful than what we were doing, and ran across Craig's book and read it and started reaching out to others that have had experience. And I heard really positive results and reviews from other administrators that I had talked to. And I think it was sometime summer of 2022, I reached out to Craig for kind of initial conversation, and that kind of led into another conversation. And then kind of we took the risk and hired Craig to come out and train myself and our two vice principals in the early fall of 2022, if I have that right. So just not too long ago. And August of 2022 is our first or second week of school. So the timing at the time I felt was not great because we had so much going on with starting school. And in hindsight, it was absolutely the best timing because we got to use it all year long. And the training was intense, and I always kind of put it akin to, you know, I was never in the military, but kind of a boot camp for administration. And Craig did a phenomenal job training us over the 5 days, going through the cycle of training where we observed together and talked about our observation, and then did a reflective conversation, and then talked about a reflective conversation, and did this kind of four-part cycle throughout the week. And I think we got somewhere 12 to 15 different observations in during that week. By the end of the week, felt super confident in what we were doing, and it just took off. And myself and our two vice principals just loved doing it. It was like a whole new refreshed kind of feeling as an administrator, where you just felt like you had these new tools that you just wanted to go and use, and had these new connections with teachers and a new way to look at their teaching craft and build trust with them, as the name, you know, true to its name, and just loved it. I think we did, between myself and our two VPs, probably close to 200 observations just in the fall semester alone. And that was probably more than we did in the previous 5 years in the way that we were doing it before. So, and it was just super, super powerful. And then, you know, we're lucky enough to get the other principals around the state of Idaho that are also working in Catholic schools. Most of them trained this past fall, as Glenn mentioned, coming back to Idaho and doing some additional training with other Catholic schools in Idaho. So it's cool to see it continue to grow, not just in our state, but elsewhere, because I think it's a super powerful model. So anyway, that's my introduction. I think I've been in education about 25 or so years, and I could honestly say that the trust-based observation training and method is the single best experience I've had as an educator for growth, for personal growth that I've experienced in those years.
Mike, and thanks, Glenn. I appreciate it from both of you. So I guess what we ought to do now is tell everybody what trust-based observations is exactly, so they have a better sense of just what we're talking about. And really, I think it's a transformative new way of doing teacher observations. And maybe even before that, maybe we should talk about what the research says on observations. Like, because is what we're doing now working? Is there research that tells us that? And there is. So there's six pieces of research that I'd like to share. And so the first one relates to our observations the way we're doing them now improving teaching and learning? Luckily, there have been two studies that have come out in the last 5 years that give us some information on that. The first is the Gates Foundation study on the measures of effective teaching, and that was a 7-year, $575 million study designed to improve the quality of teaching, student learning outcomes, and graduation rates through the development of a more robust teacher evaluation model. In 6 of the 7 districts where they did this, they literally did Danielson, with the thought being if we do it true to the way that it was designed to be done, we'll achieve the results that we want. So the RAND Corporation usually comes in and evaluates studies, research studies, and then creates final reports. And in November 2018, the final report came out and it said no sustained improvement, which is probably not a big surprise to people, but research now tells us. And then in November of 2021, I was reading Education Week. And while I was reading it, there was an article on teacher evaluation, which drew my interest. And it was actually referencing a 9-year meta-study by the Annenberg Institute for Education Reform. And it was looking at all state-mandated teacher evaluation reform efforts from in U.S. from 2009 through 2018, a 9-year period. And the results of that study were no improvement. So we know now that they're not working, or research is telling it's not working. The next question becomes, are there clues that tell us maybe why? And history is loaded with clues. Actually, the first model of observation that we think about is the clinical model of observation. That's the first real modern model. It's the pre-observation conference, observation, post-observation conference model. And in that model, They said it's really important to remember that the person that's being observed is in a very vulnerable position. So it's important that we build a trusting relationship with them because it is such a tough position to be in. And they said one of the great ways to do that is by really highly focusing on strengths. But to our point, what they also said is we have to separate the observations we're doing from growth and supporting growth from the observations we're doing from evaluations. That never really took off as part of the model, but that's what they recommended, is separating that. And Charlotte Danielson herself, in her framework book, where it became an evaluation in 2000, actually said that observing for growth and observing for evaluation are largely incompatible, but she suggested merging them anyway and suggested that it could be done. And Strong, in his 2003 teacher handbook on evaluation, said that most people consider them to be mutually exclusive, observing for growth and observing for evaluation. But he said because of political pressure, we ought to find a way to merge them anyway. That was 2003, the year after No Child Left Behind came out. So that kind of makes sense. So that's what the warnings are. What does the research say? In 1983, a report came out called by the Reagan administration called A Nation at Risk. And it talked about the state of education being in a very poor state. It was kind of cherry-picked information that really wasn't accurate. But taking that part aside, one thing that they did smartly was the next year, they commissioned a subdepartment of the Department of Education to study teacher evaluation practices in the U.S. to see if there's good ones out there that we could use to improve teaching and learning. So they go through all these studies, case studies all over the country. And as they're doing it, they start to see a pattern emerge. And so they pose a question. Can one observation tool serve two purposes? Can it both support growth and evaluate for retention purposes? So they go through all these case studies, final results. No, a single tool can only serve one purpose well. So now we have a sense that maybe the reason observations aren't working is we're having one tool try to do two things. So the question becomes then, what happens when one tool does two purposes? And that result, the research comes from Matt O'Leary out of the UK, who I think is the top researcher on observation and evaluation in the world. And his research says that as soon as we start to evaluatively rate or grade teachers, and when he says that, he means pedagogy, the following things happen. Relational trust between the observer and the observee is diminished, which means I, as the teacher, don't trust you as my principal anymore. And as a result of that, I tend to play it safe in my practice, which means I'm not going to take risks or innovate much in my practice. If we're not trying something new, we're not going to get better. So the next question becomes research-wise, well, what does work? And so for that, we go to a book called Trust in Schools. So Chicago Public Schools in the 1990s went through a period of big educational reform. And two University of Chicago Education Department researchers, Brick and Schneider, studied what was going on. And they posted the results of their research in the book Trust in Schools in 2002. And this is what they said. This is what their research said. They said, this is so, like, it's so elusive and obvious at the same time to me. It still just blows me away every time I say it. It said that relational trust is central to academic improvement. So it's basically saying everything else that's going on, great. But if we really want people to get better, we have to have relational trust if we really want that improvement. And so they said that schools that had high relational trust were three times as likely to improve math and literacy scores as schools that have low relational trust. Schools that have low relational trust, they said it was virtually impossible for them to improve. Unpacking what that relational trust piece is anymore, here's what they said further. They said relational trust reduces a teacher's sense of vulnerability And that acts as a catalyst for change because it creates safe spaces for teachers to be able to risk take and experiment in their classroom. And it all makes sense if you think about what the research was saying that wasn't working. And then the last piece of research comes from the New Teachers Project, or TNTP. And that research says that if we have more than 10 indicators on an observation form, we tend to lose the forest through the trees. It becomes a tick box exercise, and we're not really seeing the craft and art of teaching. And I think teaching is craft and art. So they said we ought to put rubrics on a diet and have 10 or less. So now the question is, what does trust-based observations do? So we diligently work on building trusting relationships. We do that through a continuous series of 20-minute unannounced observations using an observation form that only has 9 core areas of pedagogy on it. So it's manageable. It does look daunting at first. You're right, Glenn. But it actually, as I think you guys could both attest, becomes really easy to become proficient at it, even like by day 3 of the training. Am I true? True? You guys with me?
100% agree. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
All right. When you first see it, it does freaked out there first. Look daunting. Yeah. Yeah,
but totally
it is very
but
doable that's once kind you get of, doing it.
Part of the value of the training is, you know, if you try and do this on your own, and we've connected with a couple of administrators that have tried to do it on their own, it is overwhelming and it's hard. But there's so many little tricks and trades that Craig shares during the training that makes it manageable and makes it easier.
And it's volume of practice over and over again.
Absolutely.
It's funny, actually, we've had 3 schools that we've trained that had done it on their own. And every one of them on Monday afternoon, they said, oh, I wasn't doing TBO. So anyway, what else do we do? So use that. Yeah, please.
The other thing I would add is, you know, you talked about like the research, obviously the relational trust is so important for growth and achievement. Which is duh. Like, we all know that from as an educator, being in a classroom and how important that is as a teacher. Of course, that makes sense from an administrator to teacher relationship. The other thing I would add to what's important is as part of the training that you do is it's so much more than just the form. The form is a huge part of it. But I think so often we just get caught up in what is the form and how do I use the form? But the so much of your training is really about the process around the form and both building up to it and following up on it and all the little tiny micro steps that you take to build trust along the way that is more than just what you're observing and what you're putting on the form.
I think that's great. And actually, that segues right back, I think, into what we were talking about. So we have this series of 20-minute unannounced observations, and we use this form, and it's a highly detailed form. And that really comes in handy for us for building trust. And really what you're talking about, Mike, is the how do we build trust. And the big key is the reflective conversations that we have, which are the day after the observation. And that is really about the how of building trust. And actually, Brené Brown talks about the combination between risk-taking, vulnerability, and innovation, and trust, I'm sorry. And so she says, Mike looks like he's temporarily gone, but I'm hoping he's going to pop back on there. There he is. Okay. And so Brené Brown says that actually vulnerability isn't a bad thing in and of itself. And I tend to think of it almost like the amygdala. The amygdala is there to protect us, but sometimes it can get in the way. So I think as a teacher, if we have a sense of being overly vulnerable, that's where we're not going to take risks, but maybe that's telling us something's wrong. And so for us as school leaders, our job, I think, related to what we're talking about with observation, is lowering that teacher's sense of vulnerability so they do feel safe taking risks. And so with that in mind, that's exactly what we do during the reflective conversation. And Brené Brown talks about it as like building trust. And she says, if you think of a jar, it's like putting a marble at a time into the jar. And so I think let's talk about that because that's the little how system pieces that I think you're talking about, Mike. And so the very first thing that we do with reflective conversation is we have it in the teacher's room, not our office. And we say, whether you're 7, 17, or 37, getting called to the principal's office feels like getting called to the principal's office. And every week when I say that, everyone always chuckles because they've always had that time in their career where they got an email asking to come down and they all freaked out and it was nothing. So it just somehow there's something about that. So that's the first marble that we do to build trust. The second one is even when we get to the room, which is just a little tiny courtesy, but we ask permission. Hey, is now a good time instead of just saying, hey, let's do this. And they almost always say yes, 99.9% of the time. But it's a little courtesy that builds trust too. the next thing that we do, the next marvel is when we get into the room, we sit beside them, not across from them. And psychological research on hierarchy in the workplace says when we sit across from people, that magnifies that hierarchical difference. And we sit beside each other, that minimizes that difference. And people are just more comfortable and more willing to talk. The next marvel is really we're being totally transparent. So like we're all looking at screens right now. Well, that's the form for the purposes of our reflective conversation. And so here it is. I'm not hiding anything from you. And we're being totally transparent. The next thing that we do, and I know you guys know this, how powerful this is too, is that we don't start by telling. We start by asking. And we have two questions that we always start with. And so the first question is, what were you doing pedagogically speaking? What strategies were you using to help the students learn? And so even in asking that question, we're saying, I value you as a professional, what your thoughts are, what's important to you. And that sends a big message. And so even when we ask that question, though, we had another trust marvel. We just say, look, we definitely want to hear about those 20 minutes, but we all know sometimes when we're observed, we'll think you came in now, you just missed the best part, or you left right before the best part. So we always say, hey, if that happened, tell us about that too. And that little statement just makes teachers feel so much more comfortable. And so then we take down their answers and we share them back with them. We reframe them into pedagogical language, which I think we'll leave for another day. But even then, by sharing those answers back with them, we're really demonstrating that we're listening to what they're saying. And it means a lot to teachers. And the second question we ask is, if you had the opportunity to reteach the lesson, what, if anything, might you have done differently? And with that question, we have another marvel that we add as well. And so with that marvel, we say, look, teaching's tough. And sometimes though, when we teach, we nail it. And when we nail it, we want to celebrate it. We never want to feel like we have to manufacture an answer. So if I don't want you to feel like you have to manufacture an answer because I've asked this question. At the same time, we know most of the time when we teach, we tend to think, I wish I would have. So then we restate the question. That's giving them the opportunity to say that, yeah, I did nail that. And sometimes will a teacher say they nailed it? And I don't necessarily think so. Sure, but I've never had anybody say that regularly. And this is about building trust. So it's not a big deal in the meantime. The next thing, the next marvel that we do is we actually tell them literally what the goal of trust-based observations is. And we just say, look, we want to tell you what the goal of TBO is. It's for me and everybody else in the building that does observations to build a trusting enough relationship with you and everybody else in the building so that any of us can come into your classroom, observe you, see you trying something new, even though it's highly unlikely, have it be a disaster. Yet, as opposed to a normal traditional observation where you're thinking, oh, no, this can't be happening today. I'm being observed. You're not even worried because you know it's going to happen the next day. You know, the next day when we come to your classroom, we're going to see Glenn, Mike, I love it that you guys are taking a risk. That's how we get better. High five, fist bump or whatever. And we just say, because when we've created those conditions, what will happen? You'll persist in taking risks. So everybody else. And when that happens, we know we're necessarily going to grow individually and collectively and do our most important job, improve teaching and learning in our building. And then the next thing that we do is we go through the evidence of those 9 areas of the form. And that form that's so daunting at first, it's really detailed. So it allows us to be super, super detailed when we share the evidence of what we saw, which equals specific praise is really the same thing it is. So if we think about what praise is and what works and doesn't work, we can say, hey, great job. But that doesn't really mean anything. When we can see, hey, that was a great job on descriptive progress feedback when you were using coaching, the use of asking questions to help students to find their own answers. That's meaningful to teachers. And so every time we do that equals a marble in the bucket as well. So we go all the way through that. And then the last thing we do is we share the form with them. So really, that's the model in a nutshell of what it is. And it gets teachers to really start thinking about their practice on their own without us even saying anything, but it gets them comfortable and safe. So they do what we want them to do, take risks. You guys want to jump in and comment at all?
Mike, do you anything you want to start with?
I was following your lead, Glenn, but you know, just what Glenn just, or I'm sorry, what Craig just talked about is, you know, really all the things that you get when you go through a training. It's, you know, not just the form again, it's the process, the questions, the reflective conversation, which is just as important as the observation. And it's a real powerful model because you get an opportunity to kind of have those regular conversations with teachers and affirm the really good things that you're seeing that are happening in the classroom. Start to build common language, pedagogical language through those conversations, which is also really important. And as an administrator, I think we all strive to be that education leader for our teachers. And this model really gives you those tools as an administrator that you that not all of us have coming out of whatever programs that we go through or whatever experiences that we have. And I feel like this trust-based observation model with the reflective conversation and the coaching that Craig provides to kind of get you prepared for this really gives you and it gives you the tools, empowers you to be that instructional leader that we all want to be. And that's a real gift. And I absolutely enjoyed and enjoy doing these observations, and our teachers actually get a lot out of it as well. And surprisingly actually appreciate getting observations because they get those dopamine boosts, because every time you observe them, you're giving them some really positive affirmation of all the good things that you saw. And they're also seeing some things that they can grow and improve on, sometimes, oftentimes, without you ever having to say anything in terms of giving them feedback. It's often just through the reflective conversation. They're reflecting on their own practice and seeing some opportunities for their own growth without you even having to push it. So I think there's a lot of power in that.
And it doesn't mean we can't also offer supported suggestions down the road too, because that's a part of it.
So Craig, can you talk a little bit about what your plan is for this podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. I'm on the road, and I honestly think I probably observe more different teachers over the course of a school year than probably any other human being on the planet, because I probably see 300 new teachers over the course of a year. And so it just hit me last spring that as I'm doing observations every once in a while, I mean, not really, oftentimes once a week, sometimes twice a week, even three times a week. Sometimes I don't see it in a week, but I'll see 20 minutes of, because they're 20-minute observations of just brilliance. And it's oftentimes in a particular area of pedagogy that really strikes me. Sometimes it's in just overall, something just stands out with the overall quality of it. And just somewhere in the late spring, it just dawned on me. I think I was actually at a school in England, and there was a teacher that was talking about, how did you fail? How did you fail? And I think it was a math class, and the kids were all raising their hands going, oh, can I share how I failed? Can I share how I failed? And they were so excited to share how they failed. It just blew me away with the embrace of failure, right? Because we all fear that so much. And I was just like, that was just, it was so amazing to see that. And so during the reflective conversation, some of what she does to do that came out. And it just, I think, hit me after that, that I see these 20 minutes of teaching brilliance, and if I don't share them out on a greater way with the world, I'm missing an opportunity for teachers to learn from teachers. And so when you've written a book, people always say, what's your next book going to be? And people have said, hey, could you do TBO for the business world? And that doesn't really interest me. And could you do TBO for administrators? And I'm like, ooh, that's a pretty small audience. And also, once you've written a book, the thought of writing another one, unless you have a real passion, doesn't really, because you know how hard it is. And then I got this idea, we could like have 20 minutes of teaching brilliance on the road with trust-based observations. It could just be a continuing series of observations. And I mean, of books where each year we highlight all these different amazing 20 minutes of brilliance we've seen. And so I had that idea. And then I went to Idaho in June, and I told my buddy Mike Caldwell about it, who is a buddy, but he always makes my life harder in ways that I initially resist, but come to realize he's always right, damn it. And he said, Craig, no, you have to make it into a podcast. And then from there, you can make it into a book. And I was like, God damn it, you're right, Mike. So anyway, so we started talking about that. And then I just recently got equipment, decided to start doing it. We just did our first podcast with one of our teachers that we'd seen recently that had been brilliant in those 20 minutes. And so we're going to start sharing those out every week, interviews with teachers on what's been going on in their class. And they'll share out what they've done and what they're proud of, share a little bit about their stories and maybe some of their tricks along the way that hopefully other teachers can learn from as well.
I think the model is going to be awesome. I can't wait to start listening to these and learning from what you're observing. I know as a principal, one of my favorite things was going and observe teachers. And then you walk away with some of those really exciting lessons, those 20 minutes of brilliance. And you're like, you want to share that with everybody. Like, I wish everybody else could just see what I just saw. And I think this idea of kind of a regular podcast, especially with what you're doing, you're going out around the world and seeing teachers all across the world. And to be able to share that with other teachers and administrators, I think is a phenomenal opportunity to share with others. So I'm excited about where it goes and hearing the first one when it comes out.
Yeah, hopefully soon. Got to figure out this whole editing stuff and have to put them on the air, but it'll be soon. Len, you want to jump in?
I want to go back to something if we can, because I think one of the things that you mentioned was Matt O'Leary's research and that idea of two tools or one tool and two things. And some people might be saying, well, how is it possible then? Like at the end of the day, you know, whether it's for contract purposes or for district purposes or whatever, you know, we need to provide some sort of yes, no to our supervisors.
Sure.
And I know that one of the things that, again, some of the models that we've used that I've used in my past have been those, you know, long look fors. And these are all the things we're saying yes and no to. But one of the things that, you know, if you read the book and you go through the training with Craig, one of the things you start to understand is all those things that in the past we were evaluating and saying you're yes and no to, those are all the things that we're turning into coaching models. And those are all the things that we're encouraging people on. And the forum talks about those nine areas of pedagogy. Those are the things that we're coaching. Those are the things that we're giving feedback on. Those are the things we're giving fist bumps, high fives to. And, you know, at the end of the year, there's still some sort of recommendation from us, not based on the pedagogy, though. We're taking it away, and now we're looking at planning, preparation, communication, collegiality, and things like that. So although it's professionalism and growth mindset, but it's important that, you know, we're still saying to, you know, again, supervisors, you need to know whether or not we need to continue with these teachers. Yes, there is a means of doing that through TBO, but it is not through pedagogy evaluation. And by taking away that evaluation of the pedagogy, we're creating even more of that trust and that risk taking and those 20 minutes of brilliance that I, you know, I've had the pleasure. We saw a couple in Boise, Craig. We saw a couple in Vegas, and being able to see those and share those out like you guys have talked about is just phenomenal. But I just wanted to hit on that a little bit to say, you do get this, you do get a way to at the end of the day, do what's required of us in our positions, but in a way that still builds the trust and supports the teachers.
Exactly, because the traditional way doesn't do that. Mike, do you maybe want to just, because we've been talking a little bit about that, relate that to Idaho and some of what you're working on there as well? Because I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So currently in Idaho, we have state law board rule that requires all public schools to utilize essentially the four domains of the Danielson framework to do a summative evaluation for teachers at the end of the year on all four domains. One of the things that I'm personally focused on is meeting with lawmakers, policymakers, state boards, State Department of Ed people currently to really look at those laws under the guise of, you know, the research that Craig's mentioning and saying, you know, should we be doing that? And is there another way? And essentially what I'm proposing in my conversations with lawmakers is let's pull those apart and leave, if we need to, leave domains 1 and 4 into the law as part of our summative evaluations that we would do and allow administrators to focus on domains 2 and 3, if you will, as a focus on growth and continuous improvement and pull it away from the evaluative aspect of teacher observations. And so that's where conversations are right now. So it's a bit of a heavy lift because we're talking about changing, you know, state law and state board rule that's been in place for over a decade. But I've been really pleasantly surprised to a T. Everyone I've talked to at this point is in favor of a change, sees the rationale for the change. I'm talking administrators around the state, talked to several lawmakers, legislators, et cetera, and so forth. And I think people are actually very open to the change and see the rationale, understand that there's research behind making a change like this. So thanks to Craig's work, I think I'm hopeful and optimistic that we're going to be able to make some broad scale change here in Idaho.
And really what we're saying about with 1 and 4 is what we're talking about: professionalism, planning, communication, collegiality, how long, you know, what's my mindset towards growth, all that, and saying, let's leave the pedagogy. That's my teaching move. That's what my pride is. That's what's so close to my heart. And when we start having to put ratings on that, teachers, like anything positive we say, they don't hear because all they're thinking is, what's my rating? Am I proficient? am I above that? And so it just, it's well-intended. It's definitively well-intended. Danielson, Marzano, anything else that's like that, it's just, it doesn't work. And we have 50 years of people basically saying we can't, we have to separate it, and 55 years. And so what we're hoping for is we can start to get state laws changed to realize that and recognize that, and not necessarily mandate trust-based observations, but at least allow it to be an alternative option, and to realize no matter what we're doing, that rating pedagogy gets in the way of what we're trying to do, which is provide growth opportunities for teachers so they feel safe taking risks. So anyway, that's pretty exciting stuff, Mike. I love getting your updates on that. And I'm hopeful. And I had a conversation recently with someone from the Utah State Board of Education that's feeling like they might be able to do something similar there, who's in charge of teacher evaluation there. So who knows? We get a couple states to fall and more freedom. And teachers love it, and they're way more willing to take risks and grow. And that's the bottom line.
Absolutely.
Gentlemen, anything else you want to add?
Well, I want to add, you know, something that we, the three of us, has talked about off air, but let's talk about it on air, is that as an administrator, one of the great things that I like about this is, first of all, it gets me in classes every day. And, you know, I always tried to do curriculum walkthroughs. I tried to get into classes, but this not only, I'm going to use the word force, but in a positive way, this scheduled me into classes and had conversations with teachers, which is really the great part of my job that I love doing. But it also gave me chances to connect with kids. Every time I was in a classroom, I was talking with students, getting their feedback. You know, what are you learning? How do you know that you've learned it? How are you going to show the teacher that you've learned it, kind of questions? And when a parent would then call me, because, you know, working at a private school in the capital of China, there were some parents that were very concerned about the education their children were getting and wanted to make sure it was top notch. And, you know, being able to say to a parent, hey, you know, Mike is your child. And I was in Mike's physics class just the other day and had a conversation with Mike about what he was learning. And, you know, I can share back some of the responses that I have with the parents directly about their kids. And any questions or any concerns a teacher or a parent has about what's going on in the classroom, I know firsthand because I'm in every classroom every 3 to 4 weeks. I can respond back to that. I can talk from a student perspective. And, you know, sometimes I can agree with a parent. Sometimes I can disagree with a parent. But having that intimate knowledge of what's going on in every class not only helps me respond to parent needs and board needs, but it also helps me plan my PD for my staff in terms of where do we need to go? How do we support staff? How do we support them in their action research and stuff like that? So I loved it for the connection with the teachers, but also those connections with the kids.
Super. I appreciate that. Mike, anything you want to add?
No, just keep doing what you're doing. I'm glad to see TBO continue to grow, and I'm excited to see this podcast as you launch this and start to get some 20 minutes of brilliance out on the airwaves and letting people see those things. So keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks. Hey, just there might be some people that might want to contact you guys and see if you say the same things off air as you do on air or whatever, or just learn more about what you all are doing. And so would you mind sharing your contact information for anybody that's interested in that as well?
Sure. You can reach me by email. My email address is GLEN, just one N, @trustbase.com. Happy to hear from you wherever you are in the world. Happy to talk about TBO. Happy to talk about experiences working international, working in Ontario, whatever you guys want to talk about.
You bet. And I'll share my work email currently is mcaldwell, @bloom, and that's bloom.org.
Super. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining me today on podcast episode 0 of 20 Minutes of Teaching Brilliance on the Road with Trust-Based Observations. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Craig. See you, Mike.
Right, thank you.